welcome to the April edition of IASB Update, summarising the events of the IASB board meeting held between the 23rd and the 25th of April 2013 in London. I'm joined here by Stephen Cooper, member of the IASB, and Alan Tashira, who is a senior technical director at the IASB. Gentlemen, I think we're going to kick off today, Stephen, with the comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This is the second meeting on this. The one we had last month was really sort of preparatory for the decision making we're now doing. So this is our review of the IFRS for SMEs. I think this is 3 years since it first became operational, and as we said, we would review it to update on a 3-year lease cycle. So a number of issues were discussed. Firstly, the scope. There were some calls that we should widen the scope of the intended use of IFRS for SMEs. At the moment, it rules out any entity that is so-called publicly accountable, largely listed entities and banks and insurers. And some people said, well, there are some situations where perhaps some listed companies, perhaps the IFRS for SMEs might be more appropriate. The board, however, decided that the current intended scope of IFRS for SMEs, i.e. that it doesn't include publicly accountable entities, is the correct scope, and that they didn't want to, in particular, replace or modify paragraph 1.5, which deals with this. The board was actually split on this, and it was agreed by a vote of 9 ISB members. So there was a lot of discussion on that issue and some disagreement, but that's the decision of the board in the end. In terms of updating the document, obviously we've issued a number of new standards or revised standards since the IFRS for SMEs was first published. So we need to now decide how and when we're going to update the IFRS for SMEs document. And in particular, IFRS's 10, 11 and 13, consolidation, joint arrangements, fair value measurement, and also IAS 19, the modified IAS 19 that we put out in 2011, and how and when we update for that. I think the board decided that whilst eventually we do need to consider this, now is not the right time. Many of these have only just, in fact all of them, have only just become effective. We don't really have a great deal of experience with it. Many companies that have adopted IFRS for SMEs have done so relatively recently, so I think there's a feeling of not wanting to have sort of change so soon after people have adopted and so soon after these standards have become effective. It shouldn't be seen as a precedent for the future that we wouldn't adopt once a new standard is, we wouldn't modify the IFRS SMEs once a new standard has been issued, but the board will take decisions on a case-by-case basis, and in this situation decided that we wouldn't update within this particular cycle of adjustments. We then considered accounting policy options. IFRS SMEs simplifies the full IFRS in that in some cases it removes an accounting policy option which is available in full IFRS. For example, IFRS for SMEs does not include the revaluation option for property, plant and equipment. Some respondents to our consultation on this suggested that this option should be made available for the SMEs. There was a similar discussion about development costs and borrowing costs and whether we should have some more alignment with the full IFRS in those cases as well. Those two aren't options, but it's a sort of a similar consideration. The board decided not to make a change in those three areas, so to keep the simplification that is available in each of those cases, so not to capitalise development costs, not to capitalise borrowing costs, and to not allow the revaluation model for PP&E. We then discussed the optional fallback to IFRS on financial instruments, to fallback to full IFRS. At the moment, that's to IAS 39. Should we update it to IFRS 9? The board decided not to do so on the basis that IFRS 9 is not complete. We discussed income taxes. When the IFRS for SMEs was first issued, We adopted in that some simplifications were actually which were based upon an exposure draft that we had out at the time on income taxes, a 2009 ED. Unfortunately, that exposure draft wasn't finalised, and therefore the IFRS for SMEs is out of line with full IFRS. The board decided that we would make changes to ensure that Section 29 of the SME document is aligned with IAS 12. We didn't consider how the staff will come back with that at a future meeting. And that's it. There was one or two other small things. Oh, the SME implementation group has been producing some Q&As. There's a limited number of these things at the moment, and the board discussed whether we should continue with that Q&A program. We decided that we would continue with it, although we would modify the system and split it into two tiers. Those Q&As that would have authoritative guidance and would be approved by the board, and those which were more of an educational nature. So we will restructure the system, but we're not going to abandon that system altogether. So I think those were the main issues relating to IFRS for SMEs. We've got more elements to this to discuss at a future meeting with a view to making the modifications, or at least proposing the modifications later this year.
Great, thanks very much, Stephen. Alan, discussions continued in our conceptual framework project.
Yeah, yep, thanks, Chris. This took up the bulk of the meeting, and I think we had something like 15 or 16 hours scheduled for this. It was the first meeting we had of the conceptual framework of our board after the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum had met, and that's a new group that we have. As well as providing us with technical input on most of our projects, they're also the designated group for providing a consultative group for this particular project. I'm not going to do much detail here because Steve and Pat Finnegan actually put together a podcast. It should be available about the same time this podcast is available, and they provide much more detail about the discussions. Essentially, what happened was that the staff brought back the feedback from the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum. And then the main focus was on the purpose and status of the conceptual framework, and you know, and essentially saying it's mainly for standard setters, but it does have a role for others. Some refinements to the elements of financial statements, a little bit of work in terms of the definitions of asset and liability, and how the recognition criteria and derecognition criteria fit in. Some refinements to our measurement of principles for measurement. And some extra work as well on presentation of comprehensive income or OCI. So I think the best thing to do for people who are interested in the project is go back and look at these board papers, which are essentially drafts of our discussion paper due out in July, and listen to the podcast with Steve and Pat.
Okay, thanks very much. So board papers are available from the meetings by clicking on the relevant meeting in our meetings calendar on our website, and podcasts should be available in our media library, accessible from the top navigation. Okay, moving on. Post-implementation review of IFRS 8 operating segments.
That's just a little bit of a wrap-up for the post-implementation review. It's something we've had open for comment for, and had a request for information. This was a chance to bring everything we've heard back and for the board to reflect on what on our processes generally, as well as what we heard about IFRS 8. We've taken a cautionary approach with the review because this is the first time we've done a post-implementation review. And the two things out of that, we've identified a couple of topics that the ISB may consider doing some further work on. There's no presumption that we'll make any changes to our standard, but we'll do a little bit of work on some narrow scope matters. And the second thing is, I think the board's got confidence that the whole process worked pretty well, comfortable with the type of questions that we're asking and our request information and about the transparency. So we'll go ahead with this process again when we start our business combinations review.
Okay, great. And moving on, the last topic for discussion today, financial instruments, hedge accounting. Discussions on that during this meeting.
Yeah, we've got two threads to this. We have a general hedge accounting model that we're trying to get to the end of that part of the project, and the second is the portfolio or macro hedging. We had our general hedge accounting a review draft out that people have been able to see for quite some time now. I think it was September last year that we released it, and we've had comments back in on that, and this is the last decision making meeting for our board. What they've decided to do is allow entities basically a free accounting policy choice between the new accounting hedge accounting requirements in IFRS 9 and or retaining their existing hedge accounting requirements in IAS 39. So they can choose, for example, to keep their hedge accounting requirements from IAS 39 but to adopt the other aspects of IFRS 9. We'd already proposed that if you're accounting for fair value hedges of the interest rate exposure on a portfolio of financial assets or liabilities, you could still keep the IAS 39 treatment, and that still holds for this. The one change, I think, for anybody who does elect to retain the IAS 39 requirements is that we are changing the disclosure requirements for all entities, because they'll be sitting in IFRS 7, our financial instrument disclosure package, and whether you use the new hedging requirements or the existing ones in 39, you'll still have the new disclosure requirements. We also wrapped up that project in terms of, we'd already looked in September and said that re-exposure wasn't necessary. The review draft process actually pulled up a lot of input that we fed into the staff draft, and we're about to begin the balloting process. And our expectation is that that should be finished just after the middle of this year.
Okay, thanks very much. I think that more or less brings us to a conclusion. Anything else we need to cover? I think there may be one or two annual improvements updates.
Yeah, we just had a few small items that we had a look at in annual improvements cycle, the 2012-2014. The board ratified a levies interpretation, so our IFRS Interpretations Committee, they concluded their work on the application of IAS 37 in particular to levies, bank levies for example. And having concluded that, the board ratified it, and we expect to release that interpretation in about 2 weeks. The other thing to keep an eye out for on the horizon is the new exposure draft on leases is scheduled for release in about 2 weeks again, so that's about the 16th, I think it is, of May. And then the bearer plants exposure draft will follow a couple of weeks after that.
Okay, thanks very much, gentlemen. I should just remind listeners that all views expressed, those of the presenters, do not necessarily represent those of the IASB. But thank you for listening, and until next time, take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.